Greetings this morning. Well, it's been a long time for me, and for the sake of the visitors, I have to explain a little bit maybe that I, 4 months ago, nearly now, I suffered from a strep infection in my spine. Woke up 3 o'clock one morning and couldn't hardly move, and that began a journey of research and doctors and MRIs and surgery, and so here we are, having not taken our responsibility in the pulpit for about 4 months. Other than in Bible school, I did manage to help a little. So this morning I would like to also reminisce a bit over the past year and give a challenge on stewardship principles. I'm going to give a teaching this morning as I had another message in mind that I recognize a number of our people aren't here but are visiting family and friends, and so I saved my other message till later. Stewardship principles. I, too, had to reflect over the past year as I prepared for this subject, and some of you know that I'm on the advisory committee of the Anabaptist Financial, and I often run into teachings and discussions in those meetings that we have as we discuss these different things. Anabaptist Financial is a group of Mennonite and Plain people here in throughout the United States, some but mostly from Pennsylvania here, who take the extra money that people have made and accumulated and turn around and loan it out to young people starting up or people starting a business or having a need, not just young people, but anyone who has a financial need. And they keep this all within the Plain community. I've been very excited about it, and I've learned many things from them over the maybe close to 10 years or so that I've been a part of this work. Stewardship principles. As I reminisce and look back over the past year, I recognize from best that I can tell, I'm talking to many brothers and sisters, or brothers especially, that we have once again entered into a fairly prosperous situation. 2008, 9, 10, 11 were difficult years as we were in a very deep recession. We had many people who were not busy, and they stretched their finances and their budgets to try to make ends meet because they hardly had enough of work. And all at once, here in the last 2-3 years, 2 years especially, about three for some, things turned around again, things became prosperous, and nearly everyone I talk to is very busy and have more than they can handle and are turning work away. And we have again, by God's mercy, entered into a lucrative and prosperous situation for many. The question is, do we know how to handle prosperity? We well know perhaps how to handle adversity from our experience those 4 years and from watching our budget and being very careful in our spending. But the question is now, on the financial side, do we know how to handle this new time that we're in? And we don't know what we'll see in 2015, but as brethren already have alluded to, looking ahead, it does appear the economy is moving forward, and many people are expecting and already have many contracts made for the coming year. But I'd like to broaden it. I'm not going to speak, even though I include finances, but when I talk about stewardship principles, I first have to recognize and teach you the fact that stewardship is a much, much broader issue in our lives than how we handle our money. God is the creator, the owner, and the sustainer and redeemer of all. The Bible teaches us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it is He, God, that sustains and cares for all that He has made. I would like to refer to the fact that not only, well, first of all, it's a little hard for me to know where to begin here, is the testimony of my life. Somewhere, I have picked up that principle many years ago that we are stewards and not owners. Whether we are speaking of our physical body, I want to propose to you this morning that we are stewards of our bodies. This was a beautiful experience for me again, that I had a disease or a sickness that could have well easily turned septic and taken my life very quickly here. But we are stewards of our bodies. They are borrowed. They are given to us as a gift from God. We are not the owners of our bodies. The Bible even teaches us we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body. So I would like to propose to you that the body in which we live in is a gift of God. We didn't make it ourselves. It was given through the divine arrangement that God has from our parents when male and female come together in a physical union, that children are born into the world, and the body of which they come forth is a design and a creation of the God of heaven. We live in a borrowed body for however many years. For me, it's been 68 plus years, and I have somewhere along the way learned that, probably as a young Christian, that I must be careful what I do with this body, how I behave myself, what I put into it, and especially, as Matthew says, what comes out of it. It is not that which goes into the body that defiles the body, even though there is a truth to that also in the drug world and in the overeating and overdrinking and many other areas, but it is that which comes out of the body that defiles the body. And so as we live in these bodies and we open our mouth, we can defile ourselves with the things that come out of our mouth and therefore defile our bodies. What Jesus said there was primarily that if we eat a little dirt or we eat a little things that may not be good for us, we have an elimination system that does not harm us, goes out into the draft, and doesn't affect us. God has designed that. But that which comes out of the body is very critical in how it can defile ourselves and other people. The next thing we need to recognize that, and I also wanted to mention yet, the Bible teaches us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so after the new birth experience, God, yet in spite of giving us a body at birth, puts the Holy Ghost into our life, and now we are the temple of God, and how we need to be so careful what we do in this temple so that it glorifies God. Next is the gifts that God has given us. Many teachings, and we will only have the opportunity to scratch the surface this morning in the Word of God, but the Scripture's already been quoted this morning by one of you, that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. There again, the capacity we have in our mind, often the intellects that we have and the ability to learn things and the gifts we have, we notice that many times and we acknowledge that in our children when they grow stronger and older, that Well, he just has a knack at that, and he has a gift at that. These are gifts that are given to us by God and come down from heaven, from the Father of lights, of whom there's no variables, neither shadow of turning. They vary greatly, but these gifts and talents are God-given. Now, I know we use them and are able to develop them and broaden them by the mind and the hands and feet and all these things that are given us, but all those things are of God. They're not our own. So the intellect that God has given to figure things out and to invent things and to be a good mechanic or a good carpenter or a good businessman, those are gifts of God. And the sooner we realize that they are of Him and we are only stewards of the gift that God has given us, the better we are off. We are not our own. God has been good to us and given us many things, gifts and talents. And then, of course, we also have the physical, material, financial means that we have been able to accumulate here on earth by diligent working and managing. We have been able to accumulate, the different ones have, others have not been gifted in the same way. And we should not look down on each other in this whole matter, but rather recognize, again, if God has given us those gifts, they are of God, and we should not be proud or boastful about them. Very, very foolish to boast over our own accomplishments or our own accumulation, we might say, because they are not our own. In my experience in business over these 30 years now nearly, I would have to say many was the time that I looked over the situation and saw things going forward and prospering that I had to say to God, this is not me. This is your blessing. This is some of the men that came to work for me that assisted me in many things that I was not good at. And in spite of myself, God gave that blessing, but it was a gift of God and not ourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we have 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another, reflecting what I said about one man being gifted above another. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? These are verses that should be riveted in our mind and in our attitude and how we look at each other in the church or as brethren or in the community, that if God has given you a gift to do things that other men cannot do and that has turned out to be profitable in your life, why do you glory as if you did it, or as if you didn't receive it? That is the admonition that Paul gives to the brethren, and not to think of men above that which is written, and that we are not puffed up one against another and think, well, he just didn't manage right, you know, or maybe made some stupid investments, and maybe he did. Maybe he was so proud that he didn't ask proper counsel or proper advice. That is a possibility that we actually make life worse than what God would have intended for us because we are too proud to ask for advice, sit down with other men that are older than us and take counsel and instruction from them. So some of these things can be our own fault. But at other times, it's just giftings, and the giftings vary, and we should not be puffed up one against another. In let me read here a little bit. All things seen and unseen, the universe, the earth, and the natural resources that sustain us were created by the Word of God in Genesis chapter 1. We know God spoke them into His existence, and today all these things are given to us, and many of them are given for our enjoyment and are a blessing. My wife and I often refer to the variation of God. Why did He make things so different? The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the bug kingdom, whatever, everything seems to be different. And I often comment, God loves variation. And He does in humanity too. It would be rather boring if we'd all be the same, wouldn't it be? But to see the different characteristics of mankind and the different gifts that God has given, it becomes an exciting and a wonderful thing. Our bodies, our abilities, and our natural talents have been given to us by God. When our world was spoken into existence, God declared that everything as He created, that it was good. And when He created man with the intellect, it was very good. It was above the animal kingdom, above the plant kingdom, and it was very good. Also, since God is the ultimate creator, we want to read a few verses. Psalms 89:11 says, "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them." Psalms 50, verse 10. "For every beast of the forest is mine, and cattle upon a thousand hills." And how many cattlemen stand at the brink of their huge pasture with the cattle grazing, or in their in their barns or whatever, and show to their neighbors and their relatives and friends their cattle, what they have, and expecting comments of prosperity, probably, or good comments back to the man, the owner of them, because he acts and expresses himself as the owner. But listen to this, "Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." And though men take care of them and treat them and give them their shots and make sure no predators come in to kill them, they are a steward of the cattle. They are not the owner of the cattle, they are a steward. God is the owner, the Bible says, and He has entrusted maybe 100 prime Angus cattle or Charleys or whatever, or 1,000 of them, but God should be viewed as the owner of these things. And when that principle settles deeply upon our hearts, then I believe that God can make us stewards of a greater amount of things, and it will not harm us. But so many times when the ownership is received and pulled to themselves and declared and shown off and bragged about, then it becomes harmful and hurtful. And there's a great fall to many people because they are not a steward, but an owner, or try to act like an owner even though they shouldn't be. As Psalms 50 verse 11, "I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." Verse 12, "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Oh, that we would understand that great principle that we are stewards. And these things are lent to us for a time for our well-being, feed our families, help others, but not for our own possession and to become boastful and proud in that. So God is the creator. He owns all things. Now we also recognize that the earth was cursed in Genesis also there when man disobeyed God. and lifted up himself there and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that he was instructed not to eat thereof, and therefore the earth became cursed. But nevertheless, we would like to say that through the coming of Jesus Christ and the promised Redeemer, also that the earth has been redeemed somewhat, not fully. We still have the thistles and thorns, and we are filled with diseases in them. But God has entrusted man to be a steward, to dress and keep it like he did Adam. That is still in effect, that we are to take the plant life, the animal life, and the breeding of things, and the multiplication of things. We are to be stewards of that and to use those things to further the creation of God in a good way and to redeem that fallen world back to God. The earth is intended to bring glory to God and to provide resources for our human needs, creativity, even for our pleasure and productivity. Even though the physical world is fallen and cursed, we must be actively involved as stewards to try to bring these things, whether it be our dairy herds or our mechanical shops or any other business that we have, under the glory and praise of God, and to bring honor unto the Creator rather than worshiping or just enjoying the creation. The world which God declared good when spoken into existence was designed to reveal and exhibit God's magnificent power. God's creation, we are told, declares His glory. And we have seen that and do appreciate all the things and the blessing of viewing God's creation and seeing the glory that is displayed in them. God intended for His creation to sustain and to bless man. He designed it to provide opportunity for men to labor with his hands and use his intellect to develop its resources. And yet, and there, in all of that, man finds fulfillment in that. I think there is a satisfaction and a fulfillment that is legal and right to take 40, 50 cows and to make them prosper, to take wood and be able to cut it in a way that we can build a nice house. And we should be able to look back and have satisfaction in the accomplishment of it as long as we give glory to God and recognize God gave me these gifts. God gave me the ability. God helped me as a young man to work for a man and therefore learn many things. When I was young married, I tried to start my own business, and it was a struggle. I just didn't have enough of business experience in it, so I abandoned the whole thing and went to work for others. And I spent 5.5 years, first of all, to work for another industrial plant, a poultry processing plant. And my, the things that I learned to serve and to just submit myself to the direction that they gave, and I began to learn things that I had not known as a young man, having been raised on the farm. Even though I learned many things there, there were many things, and I never was involved in the financial part of it or the management of things. And there in those 5.5 years, I was given trust by that company until I had a key to the place and was able to go in weekends and check the equipment and Sunday nights to start making ice in order to be able to process chickens the next day, and many other things that I was given. And nobody, they ever questioned me. They trusted me to do that, and I excelled there. I learned so many things, and later on I was able then again to start my own business. And it was a whole different world because of the things that God had taught me in the years that I worked for other people. And I I had 6 more years of working for other people that taught me many, many things. Man finds fulfillment as he works with God's creation to provide for himself, his family, and others who may have need. Now, in the church here, through the years and the many different people who have come and gone, we have numerous times run into people who did not believe that. They believed that it was only necessary to work in order to provide until you had enough to eat and your family and pay your rent or whatever, and then you quit working and you go home and maybe read your Bible or spend time with your family, and then needs would come, children would get sick, the husband got sick, and then he had to come to the church and say, I don't have any money, I don't know what to do, what shall I do, my car broke down, I can't afford to repair it. And we tried hard to reteach some of those people, but it was a real difficulty. Somewhere along the way, they had picked up this idealism that you never are allowed to accumulate, never have a savings account, never even have much in a checking account. And so you just go by faith was the idealistic teaching that they had laid hold of. And therefore, they were never prepared for sickness or a car breaking down or wearing out and so on. Well, I would have to say that I believe in this quote here, that man finds fulfillment as he works with God's creation to provide for himself, his family, and others who may have need. The Bible teaches us that we should labor that we may have to give to him that needs. And the only way that you'll ever have to give to him that needs is if you earn extra than what you need for your sustenance. So I think that is a very, very important teaching, that we do not fall into an extreme view there and therefore cause a lot of problems in the church or in a community because we have never provided for ourselves other than ourselves. Man is God's steward, called to loving relationship and faithfulness. We are to be fruitful and have dominion over the earth. We are allowed to go into the animal kingdom like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did, like many other men in the scripture, and cause those cattle to increase and the herds prosper. Man is allowed to do that. Man can go into the farming, into the agricultural world and learn how to grow corn and soybeans and alfalfa in the best way possible in order to produce the most tonnage or the most bushels in order to bring prosperity. God has allowed mankind to develop the earth, to develop the things that God has created, and even make them increase by the wisdom that, again, comes from God. Let us not take the glory to ourselves, but only give God glory for all these things. Man is designed to labor together with God. You take something that God has created, and you learn to expand on it, make it, give it a better environment, and all at once we see that production increases and pull the weeds that came from the curse and spray it with chemicals perhaps at times because of the insects and bugs, or else we have nothing and so on. I was just reading an account of that when the Mennonites first went to Belize in Central America, and all the diseases and bugs and things that they encountered that. But they put their heart and their prayers perhaps to it, and they overcame them and made the Spanish Lookout colony one of the most beautiful gardens in Central America, and is supplying most of the country in poultry and numerous, maybe beef also, but especially in poultry and numerous other commodities like that. And the country is prospering. It's not in starvation because that somebody has developed a large piece of land that and put their heart and their toil and sweat into it to develop it. We are His sons and daughters. First of all, it is right for us after the fall, after the earth was cursed, to redevelop a relationship with God. The best way to be fruitful and to multiply in the earth and to do these things is to, first of all, again reestablish a relationship with God that makes it possible through Jesus Christ. Then, through wisdom that comes from God, be able again to dress and keep the earth, or to develop it and cultivate it and farm it and all the other gifts that that come from God. The relationship may call us to suffer and to sacrifice for Him. It may call us to give it all up at some time and walk away from it. I've been following the situation in Iraq there the past months, where the middle class people, these were not people of starvation or in poverty, that were chased away from their homes by ISIS, and here they are in refugee camps, and they don't have enough to eat, and they don't have blankets to keep warm, and it's a very sad situation. But just like that, they've had to walk away in order to save their lives. It was either convert to Islam or get out. Many, many, many tens of thousands of them left and are languishing in refugee camps without in tents, many of them, or in buildings without doors and windows. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, the Bible says that we should study to be quiet and to do our own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. The next verse, verse 12, says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. God, actually, Paul is teaching us through the Thessalonians that we are to apply ourselves in such a way that we are not dependent on the church or the community or the government, especially the government. We should not have to go to the food bank for enough of food. There may be a time when we are destitute, when that is a blessing and we can use that to God's glory. But God has called us to be diligent in our work and to be proper stewards, that we have need of nothing, that we don't need to draw from the government. I am so burdened. I think there are, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around 60 million people on food stamps in America. This is a deplorable embarrassment to this country. The land we have that could still be developed, still be cleared, still be farmed, gardens that could be planted right outside of town by renting a quarter of an acre. People could sustain themselves much better, but they have learned to just lean on the government and to draw from them, and it's the big daddy to us all, to many people, and they don't have a tinge of conscience to draw from that. But I don't believe that that should be that way. We should walk honestly and diligently, being a steward of the things that God has given, that we may have lack of nothing. That's the scripture. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Now here, it specifically instructs the Christian, knowing there are many non-Christians and even some Christians who fall into difficulty. We have in this past few months again seen a few families away from home, their house caught fire, and they came home having nothing. Nobody salvaged anything out of it. There are catastrophic needs that come into our lives that we need each other, and that's good. But only that, again, is possible if we have the attitude that he may have to give to him that needs. And the only way that you're ever going to have to give to him that needs is you have extra in a bank account, extra in your pantry or your canning shelves, in your freezers, and that you actually have laid up beyond what you need in order to get you through the month or the year. So that's a right teaching according to the Word of God. So man is God's steward, called to a loving relationship and faithfulness with all that God has made in this material world. May God help us in that. All right, the first principle we'd like to look at here in detail is that of caretaking. And there again, I can give testimony as to, that was something that I took very, very serious. When I took a job back there in that plant, that processing plant, I took on the role of a caretaker. I cared many times for the equipment that I was responsible for as if it was my own. I watched to make sure that the compressors did not run out of oil. I watched to make sure that the bin did not empty of ice. If so, production would have stopped. And other compressors not working would have stopped production. 30 people would have been sitting in a lunchroom and not being able to process their poultry or their chickens. They were making a fried chicken ready to eat and selling it that way. And I took a caretaker responsibility as if it were my own. That even though I didn't handle any of the profits of it, only got my wages at the end of the week, yet that was a great blessing to me. And later on, when I worked for John F. Martin's, the same way was true there. I treated all those things as if I would have been the owner and gave them suggestions on how perhaps they could make it more profitable. So many people today have such a negative attitude. They live for the paycheck and they don't care. They even think they're rich and therefore they can steal a little in their lunchbox and carry it home. I remember years ago when locally here there was a large plant that had many parts. One of the maintenance men carried enough of parts out of the place in his lunchbox that he had a part-time business supplying parts to the industry. It's shameful things that men have done. But rather than to look for the profitability of the men we're working for. Now, when we learn to do that, then we can also have the right attitude to God. When God gives us our own business or allows us to be stewards of one, then we just transfer that same attitude in that way. The Bible teaches us, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, in Luke 16:10. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This starts, I think, many times at home with as a child. We learn to respect the property of our neighbors. I remember when we were on farms, growing up on farms, we often spent Sunday afternoons or holidays at our neighbor's place. And boys would sometimes decide to throw eggs. They would go into the hen house and reach into the nest, get a few eggs and start throwing eggs, you know. Or maybe they would throw stones through windows and not care about which direction they would play ball and jeopardize the breaking of windows and many other things. But we were taught if you break a neighbor's window, you pay for it. Our fathers would send us back to apologize, take the money along to pay for the window, or to go fix it ourselves, maybe when we were old enough to do so. And that taught us accountability and responsibility that was of great value to us. We are only stewards. We are given these things to use, and we need to use them uprightly. So we need to learn that in little things. And I think a lot of times children need to learn it when they play with toys and share their toys. They cannot be so selfish and grab and pull things away from other children. They need to be taught not to do that, but rather to share. And in that in other things, we don't allow them to be destructive. They must be preserve their toys and treat them rightly. We don't let them take a hammer and beat up on a doll or on a tractor and chip the paint off or bend things, you know. We teach them very specifically that they preserve things, that they last a long time, and especially so if there are other people's and not our own. But very important that we learn this young, and we learn to do it in little things. And I am so grateful today that I had this experience in little ways long before I started my own business. And change oil and filters in your cars. You don't run them out until they don't run anymore, and then go buy another one. That is, my father taught us so much that you run things as long as they last. There were times when I thought he went extreme. Why don't you trade that old truck in, or that old car in, on a new one? And he'd say, and I'd say something to him about it, because I knew he had the money to do it, and he'd say, well, it still works. And he would not do it until the thing was wore out. And he is known by all of us children for the way he did that, and was a beautiful, beautiful lesson to us today, that even though we can afford to go get another one every 3 years, he would not do such a thing, because it was still working. It still wore out. And that has helped many of us to run vehicles for 10 years on the average, rather than 3 or 4 or 5, or in some cases only a year, and they have to have another one. Stewards are to be diligent and dedicated to the use of their time, talents, and possessions. They protect and utilize resources that God has placed in their care. While he may hold legal title to property, they affirm that it is God's and is to be used for his purpose. So important, though you have a title to a car, though you own a house or a business, and you have the deed to it, and maybe even you have paid for it, you still consider it not your own, only loaned to you for the benefit of your sustenance and others in life, and to use it to God's glory. I remember when I first started in business, it was at the cold storage. It was overwhelming. I had made an investment I had never made before, and it did me a lot of good as I drove out Shenick or on Mount Airy Road, and would view the business, to lift my hand toward heaven and say, to God's glory, not my own, in order to keep my heart at the right place. A caretaker or steward is one who has been given responsibility to manage assets that are not his own. Some stewards may be called to own land, manage businesses, or maintain other property. It is their task to care for these resources as God the owner would desire. In Luke chapter 16, I did read those scriptures. Let us turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 13. I had one scripture yet in Luke. And if ye have been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? That is a tremendous principle in God's word, that if you cannot be trusted with your neighbor's tractor or your neighbor's disc or his tiller or his lawnmower or whatever you might borrow, and you don't treat it right and wash it maybe if it's dirty and muddy, or sharpen the blades if you made them dull, and those kind of things, then who will ever commit to you the true riches or the things which are your own? You're not worthy. God has tests us by being faithful in that which belongs to another man. Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. People say, well, we just go by faith, we put them out in the pasture, make sure the fence is good, and that's the end of it. We'll come and get them when they're fat and sell them for a profit. No, that's not the way to do it. We look whether ticks are on them, or diseases have come, or they look sickly and they need some attention, and call the veterinarian. Look well. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Proverbs 27:23. Matthew 25:14. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he which had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And I won't read the whole account. You are very familiar with it, I'm sure. The thing I want to bear out before us all this morning is he went into a far country and delivered unto them his goods. And that is a very, very good lesson. I remember how we were taught responsibility when my parents went away on a trip. My mother had some difficulty with her eye as a young boy and went to Indiana for a special doctor, eye doctor there. And they would leave for maybe a week's time. And in that time, you know, we had to pick up and take care of things, or other times when they went away. And that was a shoring up of our lives. We wanted to please him when he came back and get a compliment from him that, my, you have done well. And we would put extra diligence forth to really take good care and milk the cows and feed the horses and the pigs and the chickens and everything that needed to be done, so that everything was in good shape and taken care of when they would return. That was, I would say, one of the greatest joys for us in their homecoming, was to perhaps get a compliment on having done our job well. I remember when Dad would come home late for the milking. He got delayed somewhere, who knows what happened, and came home late or had a distance to travel, and it was high time to have milked, and we tried to milk extra fast so that we were done milking, or nearly done, when he would finally come home. And he would say, my, you're already done. And that was the greatest joy to hear those words. But the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. So the kingdom of heaven is Jesus Christ was here. The Creator, God, was here on earth. Went back to heaven now. And has committed all this thing into our trust. And he's coming back again. And he wants to receive an account. And all of us, as the scripture says, must give an account of that stewardship. Of the things, even what we have done in our bodies, whether they be good or bad. We all must give an account of this stewardship. And he has gone into a far country. We haven't seen him since. For 2,000 years, yet we believe the record in the Word of God that he has gone to heaven, and there he is. And there he's preparing a kingdom for those that are faithful in this stewardship. And he's coming back again, and he wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Come, ye blessed of the Father, into the kingdom that's provided, all those beautiful promises that God has given. And this parable, the talents, is just that way. Here you have them. Here you have your intellect. Here you have your muscle. Here you have your gifts that God has given, whether it be mechanical or woodworking or sewing or cooking or whatever, or child rearing. God has given you all these things. He went to a far country. But he's coming back. He wants to see how you do. Now he sees everything now already, what you're doing from up there, because he's all-knowing and all-seeing. But we don't see him, and we're down here, and we're going about our duties day by day. We raise our children to the glory of God, but we expect a word from him when he comes back, because we have to give an account of the things that have been done. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." One of the greatest dangers of accumulation of goods or money or even talents is for pride to settle into our hearts and to have us become high-minded and cannot condescend to men of low estate. Simple people are in our way. The rich people tend to snub off the poor, reject them. In this situation with the in Iraq there, the Yazidi people are so rejected by both the Sunnis and the Shiites. And there they are. They're the last ones to get help. And the church there at Summit View here below New Holland took the responsibility to carry tens of thousands of dollars over to the Yazidi people, buy them blankets, rice, and other staples, cooking oil, and different things, and distribute them among those people. And they have bought thousands of blankets and made them warm for the cold weather coming on. Just a little church kind of spread the word around that they're not a real small church, but they spread the word around till even the school children began to bring their coins and their pennies and put them together. And the former bishop, who is now a younger bishop, has been ordained. He, as an older man, went over and personally bought these things in supply houses and distributed them personally. He'd take a helper or two along, and then he got a local pastor that he is working through who knows where the needs are, and he distributed them personally. That was a beautiful picture. I happened to see the slide presentation on Thursday at my sister's place because my nephew went along on that trip, and to hear his story, that was just a joyful thing. Rather than to hoard or just to build up our own wealth, we are ready to distribute, ready, and the testimony, every blanket is given away in Jesus' name to a people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in Allah, and they give these blankets in Jesus' name, and the food is given in Jesus' name. And I just think that's an exciting thing to do. There is a lot of money in Lancaster County. I don't know how many of you realize the savings accounts. And sometimes I get a glimpse of that to just see the different church groups and the amount of money that they have accumulated in order to lend out to younger ones. And I think that's good. But how much better to give a goodly portion of that to the spreading of the gospel or the needy or the poor, and especially taking care of the poor among us, widows and orphans and other, like I mentioned, catastrophic needs that come from fire, from sickness or brain tumors or death. There's just so much cancer happening with young families, and widows are left with 5, 6, 7 children and no father, no breadwinner. All these things are give an opportunity to the church when he sees himself, individuals, as stewards of what God has given us. If you still have your health, you still are able to earn, then you are able, should be, take that responsibility to earn that extra in order to give to him that needeth. Romans 14:12, I had quoted this before. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 1 Timothy 6:18 then says, that they do good. I had mentioned that God has given us charge them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. We should not trust in the material bank accounts or accumulation that we have, but trust in the living God, that they do good, the next verse says, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It's hard to see how that there's a connection, direct connection, in laying hold of eternal life in the attitude of giving and helping others, but it definitely is connected there. And when he talks about a good foundation against the time to come, somehow in the sovereignty of God, and it's taught in the book of Acts too, that there is a giving out of our abundance that maybe when we have need later on, men can give, will give back to us again. There's a security in that. That is laying up a good foundation. When we are exercised, when we have extra, and we have plenty, and give, that lays up a good foundation that if we are ever in need, the sovereign God sees to it that we get help. Many times I've seen that work out that way. So I believe that, that scripture. All our possession, time, and natural abilities are to be used to bless God's kingdom on earth. A faithful steward is one who diligently ensures that the resources within his control are not primarily being used for his own pleasure. I am burdened with the amount of expensive and exotic vacations people take when they can afford it. Then the things people buy when they can afford it. The things people drive when they can afford it many times. Well, I didn't have to borrow any money, or I can handle this, or I can make the payments, and therefore I've worked hard, I owe it to myself. Those are attitudes one hears among Christian, professed Christian people. Those should not be the attitudes that we should have, but rather to still live in a normal way, yes, not to bring ourselves into poverty, voluntary poverty necessarily. I don't think that, rather God has given us all these things to enjoy and to supply our needs, but then comes a time when we use them discreetly and rightly and also provide for others. Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." That is also a very necessary thing, that we labor with purpose beyond the production and accumulation of material goods for ourselves. That we work to provide food and raiment for the family with an overarching desire to share with others in need. Like I say, I think over the years, Lancaster County has been very weak in missions, and yet I have to say, from what I can tell throughout history, in the last I would say 80 years when the whole mission thing got going here in Lancaster County, that it grew tremendously, and it has become that which I believe there's probably hardly another county in the state, or especially in the Northeast, New Jersey, New York, that has supplied more for missions than what has been supplied here. But it was a growing thing. And finally, we have Bible printers, and we have food distributors and medicine, and we have actual missionaries being sent to the four corners of the earth. And we have these Bible printing that has printed the Word of God in many languages. And it's a great joy to see in my lifetime the burden for missions that has increased and begin to have that burden and that responsibility. The Bible teaches us that it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's another reason we should be a giver. A faithful steward is driven not only because he will someday give an account of his stewardship, but also because he has a deep, loving relationship with God. And I want you to understand the word driven. I don't believe that we should be driven like a workaholic, that all we can think about is work, 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 and can't ever take rest and relaxation or reflecting upon life and having periods of rest or vacation. I think that is good when we've been busy. Some people are workaholics or are driven by their work just for accumulation or maybe just because they're natured that way. But there should be a balance there, but to realize that there should be a desire to have that extra and to bless the Lord with His kingdom. His kingdom work should prosper because we should have a vision for that. Maybe we can't have that vision as a young married couple right away. We're getting our feet on the ground, and we're bringing children into the world. But as time goes on, and we get the things we need, many of those visions should take root in our heart. We should delight to lay up treasures in the kingdom of heaven. That is what it's called in the Word of God. If we are able to give, we are able to lay up treasures in the kingdom of heaven. So may God add His blessing. The Bible teaches us that we should say, go to now, in James 4:13, ye that say today and tomorrow will go into such a city and continue it there a year and buy and sell and get gain. If the Lord wills, we will do these things. Good to have goals. Good to have a plan, I think, for our lives and for our businesses and for our families. But it's all to God's glory, and whatever God blesses us with, that we can benefit the kingdom of God. What a blessing it is if we give our whole lives and all that we have, our minds, our hands, our feet, our money, our vehicles, everything, our houses, if we can use them to the honor and glory of God. May God add His blessing to the message.
And all God's people said, have you been well fed? Yeah, a lot has been shared here this morning. I couldn't help but thinking with Moses' sermon. That was a good Dutchy sermon. Not to relegate it to the level of culture, but it's probably a sermon that and a teaching that can the culture that we come from can more readily give that lesson and those teachings to others and share them. And I couldn't help but thinking also about a couple things that in my own experience I've had to think about and hopefully learned. One, that scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 28 that Moses had quoted, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." You know, there are a couple things that I've taken from that over the years. I've worked most of my working life in arenas where I've had to use my mind. Yes, I've used my hands, but with playing instruments, but it's been driven by the mind primarily. And when you start working in those kinds of circles, you can start dealing with things that are very undesirable. People can become quite arrogant, and not that any of us are free from that struggle of dealing with that issue, but people can become very detached and lose touch with things. And there's something about going back and working with your hands. When you actually work with your hands and you have the sweat equity in the product you're finally putting out, there is a learning and a value that's placed on the end product. And that's one reason why the thief is told, go and work with your hands. Then you'll know from your own experience the value of what it is you're taking, and you'll respect it, and you'll let it where it belongs. You know, I had an interesting situation here not too long ago, actually, where another professional person was really vexed by a family member who he had direct responsibility for, and the family member's behavior. And I could tell he just sort of broke down a little bit. He wasn't planning on asking me about it, but he said, Galen, here's the situation. What do you say I should do? And I gave him a couple tips, but one, he's not verbal about being a Christian. Okay, so I wasn't quite sure. I'm not quite sure where that's all at. But I just simply told him, I said, you know, not to unusually forbear upon him with Scripture, but I quoted this verse. And I said, if your family member, give them something to do with their hands so that they can begin to work and work out some of those things that were so aggravating. Also, the notion about working when you work, to work as unto the Lord and not as unto men. There are a lot of problems that get cleaned out. You might get some other problems along the way, but there's just a freedom that the Lord can bless when you do that. Last week, I shared a little bit about the London trips that the orchestra here at the public schools takes. And I had no idea over the years I was teaching and learning the trade and the craft. I had no ideas what some of the things were that I was sowing till many, many years later. The thing that started those London trips is somebody came out of the blue. They're anonymous to this day. Only two people associated with the district know their identity. But somebody came completely out of the blue and offered $25,000 as an outright gift for the orchestra to take that trip. That's how it started. Nobody was planning on any trips until then. And the third trip is coming up here. It happens every 4 years. It's coming up this spring. And every time, there's been a $25,000 gift. You don't know when you dedicate things to the Lord what will happen. He will govern that. He will take charge and give blessings that you could not have anticipated. I have a little bit more to say here. I'll roll one more on this yet, and then I'll open it up for the rest of you to share. You know, that Mose mentioned the notion of wealth here at the end of a sermon. And what do you do with wealth? Whatever degree you have it or that you don't have it to. You know, how do you work with that? How do you relate to others? And again, I just come back. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that first. Make sure that's number one. The dollars or the lack thereof will find its way. But you make sure first things are first. And then there will be the freedom to deal with those things. Okay, I'm going to open it up if there are others of you who want to share. The mics are available.
Yes. I'm thankful again for this sermon too. As I can remember, I was taught to work from 5 years on up. And it seems like as I'm getting older and I can't do it, I kind of get frustrated. Because I do like to work. And I also want to be thankful for this past year that we had. And I'm mostly thankful for a church that I can go to. I can't express that enough. When I read things about people that have no place to go and they don't know how to go, or just all of those things, I am thankful for that. And I'm also thankful that as I grow older that God has kept me and shown me to really love Him more. And I want to, in the new year, want to love Him more.
Thank you, Brother Mose, for teaching us. I'm reminded here of God's desire, concern for us in Deuteronomy about when things go well and things are prospering, that we are to watch that our heart not be lifted up and that we not forget the Lord our God. In Deuteronomy 8, there's a verse 17, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." We're to remember the Lord. That it's him that gives us power and strength to earn. Thank you for that, Brother Mose. Our hearts are something that we very much need to guard in that area. Thank you also, Brother Mose, for addressing. You made mention of maybe disgruntled employees taking advantage of their boss or their employer, and that they steal in small or subtle ways, thinking that, oh, they're rich, they can afford it. That is not good. That is a foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child that was not dealt with. There's two verses in Proverbs. One being, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach." The thing of wasting his father. And the other one being in Proverbs 28. "Whoso robbeth his father or mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." That there is the verse that applies to the employee that is taking from their supervisor or their boss. And the one I just read there about wasting his father and mother is how the children relate with their toys or other objects around the house. Thank you also for addressing that, Brother Mose.
I'd like to underscore the principle of doing all to the glory of God and seeking first His kingdom in our work. I worked with a man some years ago that was a readily professing Christian. He professed to be a Christian, but in many ways his life was questionable and in the shadows. And one of the things that he openly said to me was that he thinks that in the day that we live in, you really have to take advantage of people to get ahead. And that's how he lived his life. That people didn't trust him. You know, and there's many ways, many times that he could have done much better in business, but because people didn't trust him, things just didn't come his way. And I've seen that working good in one's life, if we are able and willing to, maybe we have a contract at work and we're willing to do extras on top of what we initially had said we would do, just little things along the way that we see need done, that builds so much confidence and just puts blessing into the whole situation. And I also testify that God is able to help us along the way when we're doing it for Him. There's been times that I was at work and it looked like a rainstorm was going to come up. And I knew that if it did, it was going to be devastating. And I would pray and ask God to either hold off the rain or get the concrete here earlier or something along that line. And it just seems like so many times He just does exactly what needs to be done to make the day go well. And I just want to bless Him for that. And there's at least one time where the rain did come, but the amount of devastation was surprisingly minor, where I thought it was going to be major. And God is able to work those things out that we don't have to worry, we don't have to do things that are less than honest to get by and to do well in our work. God is there for us if we're His servants. Amen.
I'd like to bless Brother Mose for sharing on this topic of stewardship this morning. You know, each one of us has a certain amount of time, treasure, and talent. And I think sometimes some of us, we can, there's two reactions. Some of us have talents beyond what others have, and there's a temptation to have pride. But then at the other end of the spectrum, there's some of us that don't have as much talent or time or treasure as others. And then we think we can't do anything. I just like to put the word out. Let's do what we have. I mean, let's use what we have. I mean, so what if a brother has five times as much time, talent, and treasure? Let's just contribute what we have. And then together, I think we can get the job done.
The incredible thing is sometimes people to whom much has been entrusted also feel like they don't have any talents. I heard it said of one of the Miss Americas 10, 20, 30 years ago, I don't know how long ago it was, that she acknowledged she had major concerns about self-rejection, which that's way out in the world, but it works out there too. One more.
I really appreciated the message this morning. God bless you, Brother Mose, for bringing it to the congregation. One thing that I guess I've just been thinking about, and just the whole, just simply being engaged in the kingdom, and I mean that could be, you know, money, making the best use of your money, but also your time and all your resources. I do see how much I have just being single, you know, without the, you know, responsibilities of, you know, of a family. But yet at the same time, I feel like I need to, you know, really take advantage of the extra time and the money that I have, that most don't. So I'm certainly open to your, you know, accountability and admonishment to try to just make the most of and what God has given me in this day.
Won't it be interesting to see at the end of 2015 what's happened with this word and to see where it's taken us through the course of another year? In closing, I just have a couple comments. It's already been mentioned about this being the end of a year. And you know, just to look back, what have we accomplished personally, in our family, in our spiritual growth, at work, socially, in ministry? Have there been special times of drawing closer to the Lord and His Word this year? Maybe there have been times of clearing your conscience or of making something right with somebody, of which the most painful ones, at least in my experience, or where I need to exercise the initiative. They're not coming to me. I need to go to them. Are there places where you've girded up the hands of the weak or giving encouragement to another, either believer or non-believer even? Where has God's grace been sufficient for you? Have there been times where you've laid aside every weight and every sin which has clinged so closely? Were there times of particular obedience or victory or repentance? What has been the difference for eternity in 2014 for you and those you know?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.